Coming up, listen to KBOO.FM, where we transmit to all the ships at sea.
Yes, you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station. Just 1 minute in front of 10 o'clock. We're about 15 minutes away from Flashpoints. Today, journalist Robert Perry discusses whether Syria will be caught in a proxy war between the U.S. and Russia. And Joseph Gerson of the American Friends Service Committee and KJ No, activist and writer, talk about the TPP and the Pacific Pivot. And at 11 on Between the Covers, today they welcome international best-selling author Elizabeth Gilbert to discuss her new book, Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. And then at 11:30, it's Words and Pictures, where cartoonist Ted Rall returns to the KBOO studios with a new graphic biography of NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. That all comes up after AirCast. Cascadia. It's headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre, next on KBOO. 2, 3, 4.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present A Hard Day's Night as part of the KBOO at the Clinton Monthly Film Series. The Beatles made this film in 1964 as they portray a rock and roll band traveling from Liverpool to London for a television broadcast, and wackiness ensues. Again, that's A Hard Day's Night, Thursday, October 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, October 8th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Coming up today, we have got Ann Peterman at long last. She's the Executive Director of the Global Ecology Justice Project. Recently, in a little bit of hot water over her activism against ArborGen, a notable genetic engineering company. And we'll also be hearing from Alex, the main organizer for the entire Hike the Pipe, main hiker and opponent of the Jordan Cove 232-mile pipeline path across Oregon, straight through many, many landowners' beautiful property. And often cases, this land is so exquisitely beautiful. It's people's lives. It's part of them. Again, we cannot stress enough that habitat and inhabitants are one and the same. When you damage land, you damage that which lives on it. All that which lives on it. And this pipeline, 232 miles of it, crosses land that is part of people's lives. It also crosses land that is, of course, right in the path of massive catastrophic wildfires. Now imagine LNG plus fire equals a gigantic explosion out in remote rural areas. Think what that would do if you already had one of these extreme fires going and you add LNG to it. Imagine the inferno. It would be unstoppable. It would burn to the coast. That said, we want to talk now with Ann Peterman. She is the executive director, of course, with the Global Ecology Justice Project, fighting worldwide against genetically engineered crops, which let loose in the third world are virtually unstoppable. Good morning, Anne. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
First off, I want to talk about what the Global Ecology Project does, but I want to ask you what happened at ArborGen earlier this week.
Sure. We actually, it was a week ago Monday, we did a direct action at, well, it was a protest that turned into a direct action at ArborGen's world headquarters in Ridgeville, South Carolina. So the previous 4 days from Monday, we had had a genetically engineered trees action training camp, and we talked about all kinds of issues related to direct actions, from knowing your legal rights as a protester to how to do orienteering and use communications equipment and, and the traditional nonviolent direct action training and all kinds of things. So then on Monday, we went to the ArborGen World Headquarters and did a couple of different events there, and one of them ended up with arrest. So we were trying to deliver to ArborGen petitions that had been signed by 267,000 people, or 269,000 people. So over a quarter of a million people have signed petitions rejecting genetically engineered trees just in 2015. And so we wanted to deliver those petitions to ArborGen and let them know that nobody wants their GE trees. And on our way there, we were arrested for trespass. So a couple of us were, myself and Ruddy Turnstone, who's our GE Trees campaigner, who's actually going to be doing a GE Trees organizing tour in the Pacific Northwest starting next week. So that is what happened.
So he'll likely be coming through Portland.
Yes.
That's great. That's good to know. Was it terribly important, as we know, to talk more about this, because the only people who are for this are people who know very little about it and are simply having it marketed to them, and being good Americans, they buy it. So across the world, genetically modified trees are encroaching on lands where, you know, traditional farming and ancient forests once were. You've been for a while now. How long has the Global Ecology Project been in operation?
Global Justice Ecology Project was founded in 2003, and it actually grew out of other organizing that I had been involved with, along with my partner, Oren Langell, since 1991. So we started as Native Forest Network, and then we did work in Central America under an organization that we co-founded called ACERCA, and then it turned into Global Justice Ecology Project, which has as its main focus, stopping genetically engineered trees, but also weaving together art and ecology, and looking at the issues of indigenous peoples' rights and the protection of land, and especially forests. So we try to weave all of these things together.
So this is a social justice issue, and people in other parts of the world don't want this in any case. But what are the differences? We already know, like crops, like alfalfa, and all of these things, that the corn notable. These are annuals or seasonal. They're one season trees. They're a very different situation. How does that affect the kind of work that you do?
Well, we got involved in the genetically engineered trees issue because we were already involved in forest protection work, and we were already involved in doing antibiotechnology work. And so we inherently understood the dangers of genetically engineered trees. And where the dangers of genetically engineered trees are different than the dangers from crops is that, you know, trees have lots of wild relatives in forests, in natural forests. And they also can spread their pollen and seeds for not quite great distances, either by wind or by, you know, animals or birds carrying them. And so the contamination threat is significant. So where crop plants are annual plants and don't often have a lot of wild relatives that they can cross-contaminate, trees are very different. So poplar trees, for example, that are being experimented on in Oregon and Washington, have lots and lots of wild relatives all over North America and even in Europe. And so, you know, there's a big danger of contamination from those genetically engineered poplars into the native wild poplar populations, which then would be, you know, they would then contaminate other trees in an unstoppable and irreversible cycle.
So In combating the encroachment of things, of trees like the poplar, which in Oregon, I mean, it seems almost out of control. What is this a matter of stopping it? Is there any possibility of reversing it? What do you do if you've got like 100 acres of these things are growing? And I've seen it. I live out in Troutdale. I've seen these things driving through the country.
Well, the GE poplars are not yet commercially being grown. So, in fact, no GE trees in the U.S. are commercially being grown at this point. So there are field trials. There are test plots of these things that are out there that are being experimented on, but they are not commercially available yet. So there are lots of poplar plantations that are, conventional, that are not genetically engineered, but there are not GE poplar plantations yet.
How do you tell the difference? I've seen tracts of land that look very suspicious in that they are not like some of the like a tree farm, of which there are quite a few driving across Oregon. You see these plantation things that are not sure how to describe them, but...
they're very industrial looking.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, no, there are, and the tree plantation industry is becoming more and more industrialized all over the world. And, they're making sure that these trees have no competition, that there's no understory plants, that there's no wildlife in these plantations. That in Brazil, they call them green deserts because nothing else can grow in them. And so, but those are not genetically engineered either. So, yeah, the plantations, full stop, have to be, eliminated. We need to get rid of tree plantations altogether because they're very dangerous and they're very destructive socially and ecologically. What we're saying is we need to make sure that we don't add the problem of genetically engineered trees to this already existing problem of industrial tree plantations. And so at this point in the United States, we still have the opportunity to do that. We can still stop these things before they get out there, before they start contaminating native poplars. And so that's what we're trying to do. But we're also concerned about and working with allies to raise awareness around the problem of industrial tree plantations, altogether.
So, Anne, just before we let you go, can you let listeners know what they can do to be part of the solution here and do what we can to stop this happening? Because, of course, as you know, Oregon is largely an agricultural. We have a large agricultural economy, and obviously... These companies like Arbogen have their beady little eyes on us. Do you want to give us some info on contact?
Sure. Well, as I said, there's going to be Global Justice Ecology Project is doing a GE Trees organizing tour through Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia starting on October 12th and ending on October 21st. And if people would like to get involved with this campaign or just learn more about the issue, you can learn about where this tour is going to be stopping on our website at nogetrees.org. So just go to nogetrees.org and you can find out where all the stops are. You can meet Ruddy, our campaigner. We have a scientist who's coming over, a geneticist who's coming over for the tour from Oxford. And there are some other activists in the Pacific Northwest that will be part of the tour. So that's a great way for people to get plugged in.
Thank you so much, Anne. We so appreciate having you here today. Thanks again. My guest, of course, is Anne Peterman. She is the executive director of the Global Ecology Justice Project, and we encourage everybody to get more involved with this. Thanks again for that, Anne. Our next guest up, Alex, is joining us. Of course, he is the main organizer for the entire Hike the Pipe action, and the main hiker against the proposed Jordan Cove. Again, we kicked off this show today talking about this just a little bit. If what would happen if a massive extreme fire hit this pipeline? But moreover, why is it that this is what should puzzle people? Why Coos Bay? How come out of the entire West Coast, Coos Bay? Good morning, Alex. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I think Coos Bay is a great target for these corporations because it is rural, it's southern Oregon, very disparate communities. There's not a lot of communication that goes on between the communities, which makes them weak, makes them more vulnerable to to misinformation and corporate exploitation. So that's why they've chosen this specific spot, and that's why environmentalists are trying to get more attention in Portland around the climate impacts of this project and the other environmental impacts.
You want to mention just some of those, and there are events that are coming up, but mainly the main event is to speaking to our listeners, you, the individual listener, to write, call, somehow get your message through to Governor Kate Brown that this must be stopped. Aside from Kate Brown, what else is possible at this point? Oh, I do hear my going out music. Just briefly tell us what's possible and what people can do.
At this point, the federal government has given their thumbs up. So at this point, Kate Brown is the best option. She has a bunch of different ways that she can stop the project. She is responsible for stopping it. We need to make sure that she knows that the people are expecting her to stand up for Oregon and protect us from a foreign corporation.
Alex, I apologize for the brevity of our conversation. We have to go out now. I want to thank you for your work, for your activism, and for your words of encouragement. We want to have you back on the show very soon next week. Thanks again. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, October 8th, 2015. Rock Bergeron engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, the TPP and the U.S. Pacific Pivot, a geopolitical Great Wall in reverse designed to isolate and marginalize China. We'll feature an in-depth discussion on the TPP. Also, Russia and Syria unleash a